the subject, Divine Healing Defined. This is part two of this message. In presenting the negative phase of this truth, I stated that divine healing is not merely making use of natural means, nor is it something that merely takes place in the spirit or the mind of man. Continuing this thought, I would say in the third place that there is the possibility of a physical healing from a power which is outside of man, but which is not of God. I'm sure it cannot be denied that the devil has a certain amount of power over the human body. In the scriptures, as we read that a certain woman was suffering from a physical bondage for 18 years, which had been brought upon her by Satan, there is a very definite possibility that if the devil had power to bind a woman for 18 years, he also could unbind her just as quickly. Many people have spoken to me of things which they witnessed that were very unusual, perhaps in a sense were in the realm of the supernatural. Since the persons involved were not Christians, in fact some of them living in the very depths of sin, the question was asked how these supernatural things could be performed. There's only one answer, and that is that these people had given themselves over to the devil, and he, by his power, wrought something that man was unable to do. There's no question but that multitudes of people have been blinded and led astray because of the phenomena which has taken place in the realm of the spiritual, but can be attributed to no one but the devil himself. It's true that God is the all-powerful one, but we need to remember that the devil is also powerful. The mysterious moving of tables, the hearing of voices of those who were long since dead, mysterious and supernatural healing of bodies of those who are definitely unchristian, and all such things we know are not of God. When they're out of the realm of divine direction and human possibility, there is only one power to which they can be attributed, and that is the devil. It seems that people of every age have insisted on turning to evil power either to appease the evil powers or to enlist their help. This condition prevails in an appalling manner in many nations of the world. They do everything to appease the evil spirits. The sad thing is that the devil is able to dress it up, refine it a bit, and thus ensnare even the most highly educated. It reminds us of God's terrible prophetic utterance that in the last days the spirits of devils shall be upon the earth, working miracles, and if possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Certainly, every true Christian will take warning and avoid these seductive snares of Satan. To be sure, there is a measure of reality in it, but devil power is dangerous and will destroy Christian faith. Personally, I'd rather be sick all my life with most any form of physical disease than to be healed by the devil or his lies. In the next place, let me state that divine healing should never be sought in opposition to the will of God. Immediately, someone will say, "Isn't it God's will that everyone be healed?" My answer is no. There are some instances where God may get more glory out of affliction than he does from the health of an individual. For illustrations of this, we would turn to individuals like Job, Elisha, Daniel, the Apostle Paul, and in this present day, Johnny. In various places, Paul speaks of his infirmities, his weak body, his afflictions, and his thorn in the flesh. He prayed repeatedly for deliverance, but God finally stated, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength will be made perfect in your weakness." Paul therefore decided that he would glory in his affliction. Without a doubt, there are many people who will get to heaven because of their afflictions who otherwise would never have made it. Through suffering and affliction, their hearts and minds were taken away from the things of earth and time to the things of eternity. And as I've said, those of you who have heard Johnny's testimony know this is what she states. To be sure, God is able to heal. As I have said, where he can get more glory out of performing healing, I'm sure that he will do it. We should always desire God's highest purpose. It's going to be practically impossible for us to trust for physical healing until we know that it's God's will for us to be healed. When we come to this place, then we can say, I will it because he wills it. When you are once assured that it's God's will that you be healed, then your faith can be increased to the point where the work will be accomplished. I know some people who have insisted that God heal them or their loved ones when in reality it was not God's will to do the work. Because these people insisted and wouldn't take no for an answer, God did the work, but there were tragic results which proved to be far more disastrous than the original affliction. I've seen this in my own life and ministry. Again, some people have gone to the fanatical side and said that we could always trust God for healing, and therefore we need not die. Isn't it peculiar that there are always some people ready to pick up a phrase of truth, go out and on the limb with it, and then saw the limb off? Divine healing is not physical immortality, but it is the fullness of life until life work is done here on this earth, and then when Christ comes, we shall receive our complete resurrection life. There's still another word of caution which I desire to present here, and that is that divine healing should never become a mercenary thing. Whenever anyone sets himself up as a divine healer and tells you that if you will come, give him a dollar, $5, $10, or whatever it might be, and that he will pray for you and you'll be healed, you can make up your mind that that thing is not of God. Anything that is of a mercenary nature in connection with divine healing should be absolutely avoided and repudiated. All of the gifts of God are as free as the blood that flowed on the cross of Calvary. In the second place, let us note some things on the positive side. First, divine healing is the supernatural power of God Almighty working in the human body, renewing its strength, and replacing the weakness or the suffering with life and health. It is the same power that converts, regenerates sinners, thus making them saints. It's just as easy, if not easier, for God to stretch forth his hand and by his almighty power heal a sick body as it is for him to save a sick soul and keep that one steadfast to the end. Divine healing must also be based on the Word of God. I emphasize this. It must be based on the Word of God. This must always be true. This stands out above all reasoning, the testimonies, and the experiences of men. If you know some people who have been genuinely healed and who are unquestionably God's children and living for him, you'll be inspired to listen to their testimonies and be encouraged thereby. Remember, however, if you have a sickness and expect to be healed, you'll have to go to God's Word and rest on that Word alone in order for the work to be accomplished. All the testimony in the entire world that could be gathered together could not establish the doctrine of divine healing, nor could it result in the healing of one body apart from the Word of God. This provision is revealed to us exclusively by the Word of God, and whenever it is accomplished, it will be on the basis of the same. If this were not true, it would be merely human and not divine. Not only is divine healing based on the Word of God, but it also comes to us through the life of Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead in his own body. Christ ascended into the heavens with a human but glorified body and is now at the right hand of the Father, representing you and me, and also interceding for us. He is there with his hands and feet of living flesh and bone, which you could handle. He could sit with you at the table and eat as he did of old. He is not a mere shadowy, cloud-like form, but he has, as I've said, a glorified body. He is our living, physical, divine Christ and is able to share his life with you. It is by our acceptance of him and our forsaking of sin that we are united with him, thus making it possible for us to be healed of physical maladies and diseases. Still further, we note that the Holy Spirit is the agent by which Christ accomplishes this work. Jesus himself declared that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. Since this is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, we have a right to expect his working not only in the salvation of souls and the infilling of the saints with his presence, but also in the healing of bodies. It is the day, as was promised, in which we were to see signs and wonders. We therefore conclude that God, through Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit, is absolutely able to heal the physical body. It is another one of the blessings which come by the grace of God and through the work of man. You can't buy it, you can't work for it, but when it becomes God's will for us to receive it, it comes as a gift. To be sure, we must have faith. However, it is not the faith that heals. It is God who heals. Faith receives his healing. In other words, we believe that God is able to heal even before there is any evidence that we are healed. Once we know that it is God's will to heal us, then we lean on him, trust him, and rejoice and praise him for what he has given, even though the full evidences are not in view. In conclusion, I want to emphasize the fact that not only is divine healing of God and by his power, but it is also for the benefit of saints and repentant sinners, that is, those who have repented and accepted Christ. It is contrary to God's word to pray for the healing of those who are not Christians and who refuse to turn to the Lord. The sin question must be settled, and then the individual can come as an applicant for divine healing, as he would come to be baptized or for any other special blessing and direction which God has for the Christian. To be sure, there are many who are not serving Christ who would like to come to him and have him heal their bodies. If they did receive healing, what would they do with the health that God would give them? Quite likely, they would do just as they did in the first place. They would use their strength and health in sinning against themselves, against their fellow men, and most of all, against God Almighty. If you have been praying for God to heal you or to do any other special thing for you, and you have sin in your life, you need not wonder why the answer to your prayer is delayed. There are too many people who are willing to serve Jesus Christ and follow him only for the loaves and the fishes. It isn't how much they can love Christ, how much they can contribute to his cause, but they want to serve him only for what they can get out of it. Such an attitude is purely selfish and is looked upon with disdain by God. May God help each one of you to love Christ and to serve him to the best of your ability, and then whenever you have needs, whether they be physical, financial, material, or whatever, you can come to him in faith and confidence, praying that he will do the exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. If you are a Christian and sick in body and have been praying about this matter, feeling that God is leading you to pray for your healing or to have the elders of the church anoint you with oil and pray as James has stated, may God help you in every sense of the word to be obedient to him, receiving that physical help and experiencing that divine power working in your body, which will give you health and strength to serve Christ and to advance his kingdom. And please remember that we're delighted to pray with you for your healing. Let us hear from you this week. Put your request in your letter, and we shall be remembering you daily as we meet in our office for prayer.